Like to say good evening to everyone.
If you was in the adult class on Sunday, y'all got to deal with me again today. But what a summer we've had. If y'all don't know, this is our last summer. Sorry, I have to reiterate that. But man, what a summer we've had. I've seen some growth from our youngsters. Man, Gabe and Benjamin and Enoch and Isaac and Bentley and all these young ones that got up here and led songs, man, you guys are killing it. I even see them in the back sometimes on Sunday mornings. You guys keep going. You guys are doing great. I heard Seth had a Bible class this summer. I think he did pretty good from what I heard. So this congregation will be in good hands, I believe. Just pray and trust that I can follow up. I know this is our last one once again. This is going to be our last book that we'll cover, the book of Psalms, and I was blessed to have Psalms 146, if you would turn your Bibles there. Psalm 146. Now, in the other Psalms that we've read, we've heard about the writer's griefs. We've heard about their sins and their doubts and their fears. We've witnessed the people and their defeats and victories. We've witnessed their highs and their lows, their ups and their downs. And here we are at the final five books of the five chapters, I should say, of Psalms. And you're going to see this phrase, praise the Lord. So from Psalm 146 to Psalm 150, you're going to find that phrase, praise the Lord. Now, each one is going to begin with praise the Lord, and they're also going to end with praise the Lord. This is going to set the tone that no matter what's happening in this world, no matter what goes on in our life, God is still worthy of praise. And we're going to go through, like I said, Psalm 146. So let's focus on verse number one. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This psalm begins with a personal call to worship. The psalmist just don't tell others to praise. He also says, oh, my soul. So he has a connection, a personal thing. This is a praise that comes from the heart, not just from the lips. We could study that. And I know that sometimes in our life we have hardships. Sometimes in our life we have those struggles. Some of you might be struggling today, didn't want to come to Bible class today. Sometimes that gets in our heart sometimes, but you're here. But you're here. And God is pleased with that. Verse number two, it says, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Now, notice this is a continual praise. While I live, while I have my being, while I have the blood running warm in my veins, while I have my health and my strength, while I'm doing good or while I'm doing bad, I will sing praises to my God. And I forgot to mention that this is a Bible class. So if anytime you guys want to make comments, you guys can make those comments during this time. Just holler at me if I don't see y'all. But I try to do better at looking at the crowd. You know, that should be our attitude as well. As I mentioned before, some days you're not going to want to come to the Bible class. You're not going to want to come to services. But should you? Absolutely. Why? Because God is God. And we are also commanded to be coming to worship services on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday night. Verse number three, which is very important, that I feel like America needs to do a better job at. The world needs to do a better job at it. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man in whom there is no help. Now, the psalmist gives a good warning. He gives a warning there. Do not trust in man. Man cannot have our full trust. Even the highest among men, they can't have our full trust. We can't be confident in man. Why? Because man will disappoint you. Some of you can look at your lives and maybe you put trust in a friend. You put trust And unfortunately, some have put trust in their husbands and their spouse, and some has been disappointed. But I know there's one that won't disappoint, and that's God himself. He won't disappoint us. Now, in the latter part of verse 3, he goes on to say, nor in the Son of Man. The greatest among men, they're only men. They're subject to death. Therefore, we shouldn't put our trust in the most powerful men, the most influential men, and influential people of this earth. But we should put our trust in the Lord. When one dies, he's going back to the earth, as we're going to read in verse number 4. And verse number 4 says, his spirit departs. He returns to his earth. When we put our trust in men, we're going to be disappointed. I guarantee you, we're going to be disappointed. A lot of us have our favorite, probably shouldn't go there, but I guess I will today. Some of us love the Cowboys. Some of us love them Cowboys, and some of us put too much trust in them Cowboys. I would consider myself a closet Cowboy fan now. But last year they said I was a Cowboys fan. I say now I'm a fan of the NFL. I'm a players guy now. Them Cowboys and drove me crazy. But you can't put your trust in them. That goes for family, some family members, some friends. You can't put your trust in them. But you can trust in God. I guarantee you that. And we're going to go down and we're going to gather some more information on that. Make sure I'm not missing nothing in here. No, I'm doing just fine. Okay. Verse number 5. Yes, sir.
Before you leave that one.
Uh-huh.
It's important that in the very day that his spirit leaves, plans perish.
Yes.
And so it doesn't matter, it's a reminder that it doesn't matter what we plan for our future. Dead or dead, those plans are done. So as far as spirituality and salvation, you got to take care of it now. You can't plan later to be saved.
For sure. And I forgot to mention that you brought up a good point. That's why we don't put our trust in presidents. That's why we don't put our trust in a lot of the high authority, because guess what? If they had a plan, when they go to the grave, that plan is done. We have to look forward to the next presidents to carry that on. But look at that continuation of putting our trust in man, put it in man. But if we put it in God, who is forever, almighty, never dying, we have a better chance. We have a shot at it. Thank you, Chad, for that. I forgot to mention that. Yes, sir, Brother Leon.
In
That's a good verse as well. We have any other comments on verses 1 through 4? Yes, sir.
Verse number 4, when it says, his breath goes forth and he returns to his earth.
Say that one more time.
When it says, returneth to his earth, do you think there's a significance with saying his earth rather than the earth?
I guess it shows ownership when it says his earth. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Leon, you got something? For sure. Thank you for that clarification. So now we'll drop down to verses number 5. Happy is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The most powerful, influential people in the world will sometimes fail at what they do. We can look at past presidents. We can look at past governors. Sometimes they fail at what they do, according to some people. Who never fails is God. God never fails. He doesn't disappoint the one who hopes in him. The psalmist now turns from the negative in verses 3 and 4 to the positive in verse number 5 and following. He tells us what not to do, which is putting our trust in the most powerful, influential people. But now he's telling us to put the trust in the Lord. And now he's going to tell us what the benefits of that is. It's something that is proved. Don't you know our God and Father is a proven God? He's already been proven. He's already been tested. Now, I want you to take your life. You take your life and you examine it. And you think about times to where you didn't think you would ever get out of situations or you would ever see the end of a tunnel. Maybe you had a sickness and you thought that sickness would never leave, but you overcame it. Maybe you had a void in your life. Maybe you had a void in your life and there was no way of getting that void back, but now you feel complete. You know, I'm reminded of whenever we had Avery, and there was a time to where there I am in the hospital and I have my son, which is not breathing, and I have Avery, which is alive. And at that time, what feelings do you have? What are you feeling during that time? For me, and I'm speaking for myself, there was a void in my life at that time. It was a void that I felt that my family wasn't complete. But you know what? I kept faith in God and I trusted God. In 5 years from that time, we got another little fella. We got another little guy that's running around, cutting up. To me, man couldn't have did that for me. Man couldn't have did that for me. You got to put your trust in God, because he'll help you get through all those tough situations. And that was a tough situation for my family. But now I have 3 beautiful children, beautiful wife. My family feels complete. But it's only through God himself that made that possible. Man couldn't have did that for me. So that's why we put our trust in God. And each one of you have your own life story. You guys have your own life story. Just think about if you didn't trust God, where would you be right now? Or what would you have in your life? Would you be the man you are, the woman you are, the child you are? Just think about those things on our everyday lives. The psalmist gives us more reason to trust in God. Why? Because look at what he's done. He's literally the creator of heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Now, why wouldn't you want to trust in God? He literally made the heavens and the earth. Everything that's around us, he's made it. Don't you think we could trust him? I think we could trust him. Man didn't make you guys. God made us. God made us in the form of him. God made us. And I think sometimes we forget about that who actually made us. Just by our actions, how we live, how we talk to each other. I think sometimes we forget those things, but let's not forget them, because he is our creator and we could have confidence in him. Why? Like I said before, he's proven. He's a proven God. He's helped before and he'll help again. I want you to think about the children of Israel when they're at the Red Sea and the sea is covered. What happened? Did they get across that sea? Oh yeah, they got across. And guess what? They walked on dry land. Now imagine that. walking on dry land and there's waters up beside you. God will deliver. What about David? Whenever he fought Goliath, God delivered. You look at Moses, you look at Noah, you look at Daniel when he was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You think about those times, God will deliver us. He's never forsaked us. He'll never leave us. But sometimes as humans, we see what's around us and we lose sight. We lose sight of God, just like Peter did. Whenever he was walking on the water and he took his eyes off of Jesus, you can trust him. You know what? And at the latter part of verse 6, he keeps the truth forever. Now, unlike men, they'll break some promises. Some of y'all done broke some promises. I know I broke a couple of promises. It's just human nature. It is what it is. I ain't ashamed. But God never breaks a promise. You know, a lot of people look at a rainbow. I love looking at rainbows because that's God's promise that he'll never flood the whole earth again. A lot of people think there's gold at the end of that rainbow. They like to make a little joke about it. I don't like that joke because that's God's promise. That's God's promise that he made to this earth that he would never flood the whole earth again. His word is dependable. What he says, we can take it to the bank and cash it. Because what he says, we can depend on it, and we can trust his word. We could trust it. We could trust his word more than human opinions. We could trust his word more than traditions. We can trust his word more than feelings. And even when we've messed up, even when we've made mistakes, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man have the attitude of, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Have y'all heard that saying? You have. Maybe some of you said it in here. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did to me. That's the world mentality. Our Lord and Savior said, you repent, you confess your sin, it's gone, it's in the past, keep moving forward. We can put our trust in him. He is a defender of the oppressed. He's a provider for the hunger. He's a liberator of prisoners. If you go down to we'll pick up at verse 7. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. You know, after I read Psalms 146, I enjoy reading it. I read it one time. I read it two times. And then I read it three times. I think I read it four times, but then I caught something in Psalms 146. And we'll cover that. I'll stop right there. We'll cover that in the devotional.